Thank you, Roger. Good morning, everybody. Nice to see you all. So let's think about forgiveness and what the Bible teaches in our talk this morning. And I'd like us to think about it in three ways. First of all, why is there a need for forgiveness in the first place? And then I'd like to think about God's forgiveness of our sins. And then the third part is how we should forgive others in the same way that God has forgiven us. Here are the headlines, because I think it's important that we set the scene very clearly, and then we'll elaborate upon these various points as we continue in our talk this morning. The fact is that there is forgiveness with God. That's the clear message of God through his word. There is forgiveness of our sins by the great God in heaven. Just think about these words. This is taken from Psalm 130. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Now those words are absolutely clear for us. Very clear. There is forgiveness with God. And basically what it says there, if the Lord kept a record of all our sins, nobody would stand. But we have the absolute assurance that there is forgiveness with God. But there are conditions, and we'll look at what the Bible teaches and the attitude that we should have, because our attitude is so crucial, as we shall see. You know, so often we hear that phrase, well, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Perhaps we can think about that a little later when we think about what the Bible teaches about forgiveness. So let's first of all think about that first question. Why is there a need for forgiveness? So that's the question. So let's think about how we can unfold the answer to that question. Well, the Bible teaches that our nature, the nature that we bear, our human nature, is described as sinful flesh. We read in that reading from Romans 5 that sin came into the world, as we have recorded for us in the early chapters of the book of Genesis, through the sin of Adam and Eve. We're not going to go into that this morning. That's a subject that is covered from this platform a number of times during the year. But that's our nature, sinful flesh. And as we read in that chapter that Roger read for us, death spread to all men, because all have sinned. And in the next chapter, in Romans chapter 6, it tells us the wages of sin is death. That's our wages. We die because of sin. And so what is sin? Sin is given to us as a definition in the Epistle of John. That's the nearest thing. Sin is the transgression of the law, lawlessness. In effect, we disobey God's commands. We miss the mark. That's what sin means. And as a result of that, there's a great gulf between ourselves and the great God in heaven. And the nature that we bear is described a number of times in God's word. Just have a look at these two passages. And again, this emphasizes to us how hard we have to work to overcome the nature that we have, the things that are natural to the way that we live. In Jeremiah it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And again, that's something that sort of sends a shiver down your spine, doesn't it? That's what the heart is, deceitful above all things. And here are some words of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said himself. That's our nature. And that's why we have to strive so hard to put that on one side and to try our very best to follow God and his principles and the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's summed up in Romans chapter 3. all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. A very simple, a very straightforward, but a very crystal clear verse. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that is why we need forgiveness. Because we were alienated, we were separated from God. And we need to be reconciled, we need to be brought back. There needs to be a bridge of that great gulf that existed between God and man. And in a nutshell, that is why we need forgiveness. And there are some really fundamental principles that we have in God's word that help us to understand a bit more about what the Bible teaches about forgiveness. Because it tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And in the Old Testament, in the time of the children of Israel, what they did was they sacrificed animals time and time again. But Hebrews tells us that they were insufficient. They were just not sufficient. And God provided the answer. But what a cost to bridge that gap. What a cost to reconcile you and me back to the living God. Here are some words from, again, the book of Hebrews. There's also repeated in Colossians. I'm not going to go there, but you can have a look at that later if you'd like to do. But notice in Hebrews it says, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he, Jesus, then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Now, isn't that astonishing? God gave his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his life. He was crucified on that cross so that our sins might be covered, our sins might be forgiven, to bear the sins of many. And I find that astonishing, because that's how much God loves you and me, so, so much. He was prepared to give his Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ was obedient even unto the death of the cross. And so, as we read in that chapter that Roger read for us in Romans chapter 5, and again, you know, these words are really powerful words, and it gives us a sense of how much this means to God, that God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now receive the reconciliation. That's the love of God. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a life of perfection before his Father. It tells us in the scriptures that he was tempted in every way like as we are. He shared the nature that we have. He was born of Mary, the Virgin Mary. He overcame. He was complete in the way that he lived his life before his Father. And he offered his life as a perfect sacrifice, once for all. All those animals were sacrificed, insufficient. But the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was that perfect offering, once for all. And so therefore, the Bible is so clear. Forgiveness of sins is only through the Lord Jesus Christ and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ as his blood was shed, that perfect offering for us all. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we won't go there, but it tells us that there is one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is the go-between between ourselves and the one true God in heaven. Here's a verse in the epistle that John wrote, and he said these words: if anyone sins, we have an advocate, someone who pleads our cause. That's what an advocate is, someone who pleads our cause with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So we can see there is absolutely forgiveness of sins as we have revealed in the pages of God's word. But the Bible also talks about the kind of attitude that we should have as we approach God and seek him to forgive us. And we start to see that now in a psalm. It's Psalm 103. Just a few verses from that psalm. But again, here we have a beautiful record of how the Lord feels about you and about me. It says the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Isn't that such a lovely thing to write? Abounding in mercy. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. If he had marked our sins, no one could stand, as we read earlier. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. So we're starting to see now the kind of attitude that we should have for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. And so we start to think then about our attitude. And the promise is very clear to us that God will forgive us if our attitude is right. And let's just have a look at just one or two passages that illustrate this idea of what the Lord looks for in our hearts in response to his love, his abounding mercy. This again is another verse from the letter that John wrote. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the Lord looks for us to be honest and open and to confess our sins. Here is a verse from the Proverbs. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. It's not maybe, will have mercy. And so the Lord looks for us to confess our sins and to forsake them, to try our best not to repeat those things again. We know that we will fail because of the nature that we have, but that doesn't mean that we should try our absolute hardest to follow God, his ways, and the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the prophet of Isaiah, we have these words: says the Lord, but on this one will I look, on him who is poor. That means humble. Who is humble and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. And so the Lord is looking for a response from us to confess and to forsake, and to have that attitude that we rely wholly upon God and his forgiveness. And forgiveness is promised too if we forgive others. Again, these are words that you will, I suspect, remember or at least recognize. Words of the Lord Jesus: for if you forgive men their trespasses, notice, again it's very clear, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. And this is all about a principle that we see in God's word, a general teaching for us to love our neighbour as ourselves, to love one another. On two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And that is to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind, and to love our neighbour as ourselves. And the Lord looks to see whether we show that attitude in the way that we live our lives. So when, what about our forgiveness? What about that? And what does the Bible tell us about that? Well, Peter, who was so close to the Lord Jesus Christ, he approached the Lord Jesus and said, "Lord, how often should I forgive?" And let's read the actual words. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" And you can imagine Peter going through his mind, well, what should I say? Should I say twice or three times? Seven times. Is it seven times, Lord? Jesus said to him, "I do not say unto you up to seven times, but unto 70 times seven." In other words, go on forgiving all your days. That's the attitude that we should have. Again, not the aspect that we talked about earlier. Well, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Go on forgiving all your days. Look to the way that we deal and treat other people as we would hope the Lord will deal with us. We must not forget, too, an important passage that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. Here's an interesting and a challenging couple of verses. Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation." That's a tough little couple of verses. What does that mean? We can happily chat about that after this service over a cup of tea. At its basic level, I think what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, if we do not accept the power of God to forgive our sins, how can we expect him to forgive those things that we do wrong in his sight? If we do not accept that the Lord has the power to forgive us our sins, it puts a big question mark, doesn't it? At the very least, that's what those two verses say. And I think that we can take it as that simple message from what we are thinking about in our thoughts this morning. So what have we seen then? What have we seen in our look at what the Bible teaches on forgiveness? We've seen very clearly, we absolutely need God's forgiveness of our sins. We've talked about our nature, haven't we? We talked about the fact that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We certainly need God's forgiveness of our sin. And we found very clearly that God is a forgiving, he is a loving God. He is full of love and compassion and mercy to those who approach him in the way that he wants us to do. And he wants us to believe in him. He wants us to accept the fact that the Lord will forgive us if we approach him in the right way. And to believe in him and his son, the Lord Jesus. And the fact that through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are able to approach God and to seek for forgiveness. Because the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life, his blood was shed to cover our sins. And God looks for the right attitude from us in the way that we approach him, to confess our sins and to forsake our sins, and to have that fear of the Lord, that reverence of the one true God, the God who created all things. And the Lord wants to see an attitude in us that we are as forgiving of others as we want the Lord to be forgiving of you and me. Finally, why? Why is there a need for forgiveness in the first place? And we saw that, didn't we, in that chapter that Roger read for us. So that, right towards the end of the chapter, as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because God has a plan and a purpose. It was there right in the beginning that he's looking for a special people, a people for his name, that his name might be glorified throughout eternity. He is seeking a people, those who believe in him and put their faith and their trust in him and believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it talks there about leading to eternal life. Eternal life is promised for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only available because the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life. He's that go-between. He's that advocate. And the fact is, there is a kingdom that's coming. A kingdom here on this earth. The kingdom that Jesus taught his disciples to pray for. Your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And all of us here this morning have an opportunity of a place in God's kingdom. Because God is a forgiving and a loving God, he will forgive our sins. He wants us to be part of his plans for the future. He wants you and I to share eternity in that kingdom with the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. Thank you.